Today's exit interview is sponsored by Blue Apron. What do you do when you want a great cooked meal? Sure, you could go wait in Red Lobster for Debbie to serve you, or you could make a great tasting, gourmet, freshly prepared meal in your own home with Blue Apron. Get your first three meals for free when you sign up for Blue Apron. Use our link, blueapron.com/Rob. That's your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/Rob. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to bring you another one of our exit interview podcasts. Today, we're going to be talking with JT Thomas, believe it or not, for the first time ever in the history of Rob Has a Podcast. So that is coming up here on this episode. Then we're going to do the This Week in Survivor History back with Jordan Kalish after a week off for me to go to New York to go do the live know-it-alls. Last night, Stephen Fishback was not around, but David Wright was here in the studio to fill in. I thought we had a very interesting show talking about everything that went on in a very exciting episode of Survivor this week. If you missed that, you can check that out on robhasawebsite.com. And then I'm really looking forward to my interviews over the next couple of days. Later on tonight, I'm going to be talking with John and Candace Cody. Of course, Candace played with JT, played with Ozzy, played with Ceri, played with Sandra. They both played with Brad Culpepper. John was out there with Sierra. So interesting to get their take on everything. Looking forward to that. And then tomorrow, Randy Bailey is going to be on the voicemails, a highly anticipated feedback show coming up this week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of it. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, it looks like we have JT online. Let's go ahead and patch him in. JT, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Good morning. How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. I'm making it.
Yeah. Hope that you're not drinking too much coffee this morning. I know it's an early morning.
Yeah, that's right. No sugar.
Anyway, so JT, very nice to have you on the podcast finally after all these years, and sad to see you go out last night. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts going into this tribal council? Why did you feel like Mana was going to, or the people from the old Mana tribe were going to be so ready to get rid of Michaela?
Well, we had actually all discussed it many times, all being, you know, everyone left there on the tribe, other than Michaela, about how troublesome it was with Michaela at challenges, how difficult it was, how hard it was to get along with her camp. And it was just, it was a common around the tribe that, hey, I mean, it's time, you know, Michaela needs to go. And, you know, it doesn't quite show as much as it was. Everyone was kind of had enough of her, not just me, but it was that case. Like every challenge, it was tough. We had to let her pick her what she wanted to do. And then we would all, like, try to help the team the best we could around that, you know, which was kind of a nuisance. But she was tough to deal with around camp and at challenges altogether. And, you know, basically, Sandra and myself and Varner talked. And you know, my point was that, hey, you know, if we merge a swap, which we all know is going to happen soon, you know, unless you have me there with you, you're going to be voted off in order, basically. Everyone left in the game pretty much is my former alliance, the Nuku tribe. They're going to, you know, it'd be crazy for them not to just pick y'all off and then take care of business later, which everyone agreed, you know, that's probably going to happen that way. But if you take me to the merge, there's a lot we can do. You know, I'd love to work with y'all and surprise everyone else and take out people that we want to see gone and all of us make it as far as we can. Basically, you know, I have a lot to offer after the merger swap versus Michaela, which was obvious. But not only that, if we don't merge a swap yet, you're definitely not going to have a chance to win any challenges if you vote me out right at this point with Malcolm gone already too. So there was a lot, I had a lot to offer. There was a lot that they could benefit from me being in the game versus the only thing out of me leaving was a payback vote, you know?
You know, that's interesting that I hadn't heard that about your proposal to them to go into the merge. Obviously, back in Token Sheens, you guys came in down numbers and were able to ride that whole thing out, even though you were down. So that's fun to think about how that might have played out. Let me go back to the payback vote that you talk about with Sandra. Did you feel like that there was any bad blood towards you after the fallout from the combined tribal council from Sandra and Varner and everybody from the new Nuku tribe?
I could definitely feel, you know, the tension, and rightfully so. I mean, I took a risk with one of my tightest allies from the beginning of the game, and he let me down on that, but that's all in it, you know. And Malcolm, myself, and Aubrey, well, we were solid, and they were solid with me as long as we had numbers. So if we were to go to tribal, I was still going to be the one going home unless I won Michaela, Varner, or Sandra over, or one of them was going out of the way so that we had the numbers. So I was in a bad position, and the opportunity with the double tribal was, for me, was a chance to get Varner, Sandra, or Michaela, either one, voted out would have been great, because I would have control of my own destiny again. I'd be in control of this tribe with the majority with Malcolm and Aubrey. But, you know, it didn't work out, and my tightest ally on this tribe, Malcolm, and fellow competitor, was voted out instead, which really burnt me, you know. So I knew they were upset, but I couldn't tell Sandra it wasn't supposed to be Malcolm, it was supposed to be you, you know. I couldn't say that. And she's like, well, I got to take up for my baby Malcolm, you know. Malcolm was ready to get rid of Sandra, too. We just didn't have the numbers yet, you know. But I couldn't – she didn't understand that because she didn't know. We couldn't tell her. So it was all about payback for her. And I knew there was a grudge, but I thought Sandra was going to be playing a deeper game like she has in the past. You know, despite, you know, yeah, he kind of ticked me off, but I want to win this game. You know, I got to make it farther in this game.
But JT, is that fair to say that's payback with Sandra? Because weren't you targeting her? Isn't that a good move for her to get out at least a number from the original Nuku tribe?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt it was. And if I were in here, she'd not have been ready to get me out. But she said it herself last night. You know, it's time to get my vengeance. It's time to get my payback. You know, and that's strictly what it was. It just didn't get that far with Sandra. It was all about payback.
So, JT, I know that you didn't have the Hidden Immunity Idol with you at the Tribal Council last night. If you had it with you, did you realize that something was off? Would you have played it if you had it?
I'd like to say, yeah, of course I would. But, you know, I never felt in trouble until, like, right before the vote. And I'm not sure that I would have felt it enough to play the idol. Because it just, you know, I can see that Michaela thought she was safe. I was like, okay, she definitely thinks she's not going home. So that scared me. I was like, are they playing her up a little bit, you know? Or is this all the play on me? And Aubrey was obviously still with me 100%. She didn't, you know, we were talking about it too, and she felt like we were safe. We were easy, you know. So I didn't want to out, you know, if I had to go get the idol, it was going to be obvious that I was going to get something right before tribal. And I didn't want to, like, do that and cause an uproar when I thought I was safe. But, yeah, obviously, it was a mistake. I should have brought it, and I should have played it, you know. But you know what? I don't think I would have. I really thought we were solid with getting rid of Michaela.
So when all that was going on at the Tribal Council, Michaela takes out this coffee cup and is drinking from the coffee cup.
Yeah. That's when I got nervous, you know. Yeah, but that's right.
But I'd love to get your reaction on seeing that. I mean, that's very unprecedented to have somebody bring out a prop at Tribal Council.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think that much into it. All I was running through my head at that time was, what have I made a mistake? You know, what have I done? She always had some little something, you know, to try to make, you know, I don't even want to get her. She's very tough to deal with. But the way she attacked me at the Tribal was like, we had never had actual bitter words towards each other until Sandra was instigating the sugar thing. So I felt like, and then her attacking me, she also attacked Aubrey at the Tribal and did show. And she, like, really got, you know, pretty aggressive with her words. And that, her confidence really scared me. And so I didn't really give much thought to the tea. I was running so much through my head, or coffee, whatever. But it was all a plan of hers and Sandra's to make me feel comfortable not to play the idol. So they done good in that part of it, you know.
So what was your reaction when you saw the episode and found out that it was actually Sandra who ate the sugar?
It made way more sense. But, you know, the sugar was never a big deal until Sandra kept, like, bringing it up and making it a big deal. Well, now it makes some more sense why, because she was instigating it. It was her whole thing, you know. So it was no wonder she kept bringing it up to me and Michaela both.
Yeah.
You know, it makes more sense now, but, you know, good for her. It distracted me from playing the idol for the most part, you know, so that was a good call in short term, you know, for sure.
I want to go back and talk more about this combined Tribal Council from last week, because everybody's just been talking about it all week long. There was a point towards the end of that where you're saying to everybody after you had spoken to Brad, we need to change the vote. Did you actually feel like that things were going wrong at that point? And what did you want to change the vote to?
I did feel like, yep. Well, what done it for me was Haley. She kept saying it'd be stupid to get rid of anybody other than physical threats at this point in the game. And by her saying that, I looked around and thought to myself,
because she already knew at this point when I told Culpepper I had to feel this way because they had already had their group talk. And all that was going through my head was, this is going to be me or Malcolm. This isn't right, you know. So, I did want to change the vote at that point, which was right before the vote. And Malcolm was, you know, he wasn't as worried as I was. But I knew I had told him Sierra. And I felt like me or Malcolm was in trouble. I felt, you know, I really encouraged Malcolm to call Haley out because I didn't know Haley. And I didn't know everything for sure, but I felt like we had to change something because the last thing I wanted was Malcolm to go home or myself, obviously. But, you know, I wasn't sure, but it wouldn't hurt to change. At that point, I would have rather just voted Sierra out, you know, but not had told Brad. But originally, I thought I could trust my tight ally from the beginning of the game. And it's not like I was asking him to do anything that was going to hurt him. It was strictly, hey, dude, I'm going to save you. Just do this little thing here, like get rid of Sandra. And unfortunately, you know, he was scared to compete against Malcolm or myself later in the game, I think. I don't know. I had too much stock in Culpepper.
Going back to then last week, I spoke with Malcolm, and he really called your move one of the dumbest moves in the game. Does Malcolm have reason to be upset with you?
No doubt. But again, you know, Malcolm, he's a great, strong competitor. I love him to death. And very few people put as much heart into this game as Malcolm and myself both. No one deserved to be there longer, you know, than Malcolm or myself. I mean, I know how hard we really tried to win this game. But unfortunately, I mean, I straight up told Malcolm, dude, you do not let it go to a vote. You got to call Haley out. She's targeting me or you won. I don't know what else going on, but something's not right. And he wouldn't have nothing to do with it. You know, he's like, no, let's just play it cool. Play it cool. You know, and basically, you know, it's not anybody's fault but mine about how it turned out, I guess you could say. But Malcolm had the opportunity to control his own destiny as well as I did. You know, we all have to take responsibility for our own what happens to us each. You know, hey, it's my fault I didn't go home. Although there's a lot of things that other people could have done to help the situation. But there's a lot of things I could have done too, you know. Malcolm never wanted to talk strategy. I love Malcolm to death, and we're still buddies now, of course. But, you know, Malcolm never would talk strategy. Like, I feel like me, him, and Aubrey could have done something before that tribal even. Or if we had all three worked together on making a move at this tribal, would have been a perfect opportunity to do what we all three wanted to do, which was get Sandra gone where us three had the numbers in the tribe. Because Malcolm wanted to play with me, and I wanted to play with Malcolm. There was no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But him and Aubrey wasn't going to play with me until we had the numbers. It made no sense for them to. So we were at a deadlock three until something happened. And just unfortunately, it went south before we could make that happen.
JT, could you have been more direct and straight up with Brad and just told him, hey, I want to vote with you guys tonight. Let's vote Sandra out at this tribal council, giving their side the six?
If I was scared, what would happen there would be that they didn't vote Sandra, like the plan would be, mm-hmm. and it would leave me ousted in my tribe.
Right.
And them having an idol, what we could do is flush their idol. And as well, if they didn't have an idol, then what I said to Culpepper meant nothing. So it was a kind of a chance. They had to have an idol, and they had to play it for that person in order for me to accomplish anything. Otherwise, Sierra was still going home. Which wasn't that bad a thing. It was just an opportunity to maybe something could happen to help me out here. Instead, it went the opposite way for me, you know. I wasn't just going to vote against my tribe and then me go home with them and have to face that music either. At least I did what I told them I would do. I voted with my tribe. And had Culpepper done what he was supposed to do or what his end of the deal would have been was to basically we went home with the majority of my tribe, me, Aubrey, and Malcolm, and it wouldn't have mattered. But Malcolm wasn't ready to make that move yet. So I had to try to do it secretly without him, because he was scared something would go wrong, which it did, but I don't feel like it would have had I had help on the vote, help with here on the decision. So basically, you know, I had to try to help make a good move for Malcolm without Malcolm, but unfortunately it cost him his part in the game.
Okay, real quick, before the swap happened, besides Brad, who else were you really tight with at the old Nuku tribe?
But man, I was really tired of a lot of people. I was sitting in as good a seat as I could be. Ozzy, myself, and Sarah, Brad, and Sierra were a very tight group, along with Ty and Debbie.
basically everyone except Sheree and Andrea, which isn't how we started the game. I tried to approach Sheree to begin with, but she just gave me a really bad vibe, and I felt like she was coming after me, so it was like me or her kind of thing. And then Andrea was caught telling Sheree I was coming for her and this, that, and the other, so put her on the next to go list. But everyone else on the tribe was, I mean, I spent a lot of time with everyone, and we were all in good peace with each other, and it was a perfect situation.
And then, JT, you and I both have a great mutual friend in Fishback. You've played now two times without him. He played once without you in Second Chances. You guys hadn't been able to recapture the magic without each other. What's the biggest thing you miss about Steven when you've played without him?
Well, I mean, obviously, the one thing that's very crucial in this game is finding someone that you can trust. And everyone knows, I know Steven is well as anybody, but any kind of, you know, will to win this game. When it comes down to the end of the game, when it comes down to the final five or six, you got to do what you got to do for yourself to win the game. But in order to get that far in the game and actually have people on the jury that will actually give you the money when you win, you have to have some people you trust and that will work with you. And unfortunately, I just haven't been able to find that person.
Yeah,
and when I do, it's a little too late, or they're on the wrong tribe.
All right, JT. Last thing, Survivor a fourth time, yes or no?
I'd love to, anytime.
You're up for it. Okay, all right. JT, very nice talking to you today.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
All right, take care. All the best. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. JT Thomas here on the Survivor podcast, and interesting to get his take on what he was trying to sell to that new Nuku group about how, come with me, I'll be the person, I'll vouch for you guys. I mean, it's an intriguing offer. You know, I could sort of see myself like, you know, he sells it well. But at that point, I don't know who necessarily is going to be the target. I'm not sure if I would have necessarily gone along and bought that bill of goods. But an interesting pitch, and definitely something that we didn't get from the episode. So that's what's always fun about these exit interviews. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit to a man always a game changer, always changing up the game to make it harder for me to try to win. This week in Survivor History, the quiz with Jordan Kalish. Jordan, back after a 1 week hiatus. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well rested. Well, not really, because my 1 week hiatus involved being up until 4:45 a.m. at Know It Alls. But I'm happy to be back.
What goes on until 4:45 a.m.? Like, how does the, like, I eventually, like, I go to bed. What, like, what continues to go on? What am I missing? Well,
people leave the bar, people go to an Airbnb and listen to Brett and Chris wax poetic about Survivor Millennials versus Gen X.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's worth it. It's worth staying up that late.
I guess I missed a lot then.
You did.
Okay. So here we are back once again. Very nice to see you. Got to chat with your mom once again at the live Know-It-Alls. Very nice.
Yeah, she's become a big Rob has a podcast fan. I mean, she's always liked it, but she's listening more than she ever has. She's listening to the Walking Dead podcast, so she's a big listener. Maybe she'll be a patron one day.
I'm waiting for her to tweet out the hashtag I beat Rob as well.
Yeah, Well, first of all, she was telling me earlier she doesn't think she ever has a chance of beating you in one of these quizzes, and she never tweets. So I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Okay, is she on Twitter?
She has a Twitter, but I don't think she uses
it. Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. So here we are for this week in Survivor History, the quiz. Jordan will ask me a bunch of questions, which hopefully are worded in a fair manner so that I have a chance
and
to
just,
answer them.
Just to hit on that, you mentioned the live Know-It-Alls last week. Every single person who I spoke to said that the questions were worded fairly. The only thing that they said that maybe was a little bit unfair to you was the new scoring system where you need 5 points in order to win.
And again, are very nice. People are very, very polite. They're not going to tell you to your face when things are not working.
Yeah, but when it's common sense that all my questions have been worded fairly, I knew they would be on my side.
Where there's Twitter, some privacy over the internet, you know, people email me in confidential terms and they tell me the real story of what's going on. But anyway, Jordan,
You get emails saying that the wording is unfair?
Yes. Look, let's not get bogged down with that. We have a new quiz to play, and we have a sponsor for this episode of the podcast to talk about, and those are our friends over at Blue Apron, because Blue Apron is sending fresh, affordable, meals to you to prepare in the comfort of your own kitchen. Just like these survivors get so excited, oh, here's all the ingredients for me to make sandwiches in my tribes. You could be like Aubrey, just screaming like a lunatic when that Blue Apron delivery comes to your house, because Blue Apron not only is fresh, but it's also affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You've got a great variety, it's flexible, and best of all, it's easy with step-by-step instructions, easy to follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, Jordan. That's about the time it takes us to get through the Exit Interview podcast.
Yeah, that's incredible. And if you're using the wrong proportions, like 7 drips of coffee to one teaspoon of sugar, and I think you need Blue Apron.
No, this is great. This is better for you. You're not going to have all that sugar like Michaela's coffee recipe, which is hard to follow. And best of all, everything that Blue Apron sends you has a freshness guarantee. They promise every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rob. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And blue was the color of the new Nuku tribe, which sent home JT, which gets us back to Survivor and Jordan. So do you have any JT-themed questions for today?
I actually don't have any JT-themed questions, but I will say that too much sugar has sort of been a theme for him on Survivor.
Come on, keep it above board.
just a couple of notes for this week, too. You said I'm always a game changer, and I did change the game a little bit. So,
oh boy.
A lot of people thought it was unfair. No, this is going to help you, Rob. A lot of people thought it was unfair that if you got the point doubled question incorrect, you automatically lose the quiz, being that there's only 6 questions and you need 5 points. So now there are 7 questions. So it gives you a little bit more wiggle room if you were to get a question wrong at the beginning. You could get that point double question wrong and still potentially win the game. And the other thing I'm going to do, you hosted such a great Know-It-Alls event. I had such a good time. Everyone had a good time. So what I'm doing, I'm giving you a gift. I'm going to say, even though last week we did not
like
record
John,
a podcast, I am giving you a Know-It-Alls win.
What? One?
So you are on a 2-game winning streak, which is going to add up when it comes to getting that legacy advantage 3 weeks from now, if you stay on the street.
Okay. All right. There you go.
So, I'm just buttering you up. So if there's a poorly worded question, I could just point to that.
Okay. All right. So let's get into it.
So we are going to go first to Survivor One World. This is the episode called The Beauty in a Merge. It's the Merge episode from March 28th, 2012, 5 years ago this past Tuesday. And this was a really big Troyzan episode, actually.
Oh, yeah. Big Troyzan.
This is my island catchphrase after winning the reward challenge. He wins a reward. He finds an idol. He wins the immunity challenge. So my number one question for you, which Probst unintentionally inappropriate comment makes Troyzan chuckle in the middle of the immunity challenge? A, Troyzan's balls are at both ends of his disc. B, Troyzan's balls finally drop. C, Troyzan has no control over his balls. The Troyzan's balls haven't moved in a long time.
Yeah. I believe I actually do know the answer to this. Troyzan's balls and everything have been quite the topic of conversation, it seems, of late. And I will say that those balls have not moved in a long time. I will say the answer is D.
It is D. Correct, Rob. You are 1-for-1. I gave you a little hint there because I did say he won the immunity challenge, and that's the only one that would have
I already knew that. I already knew that. That's been, look, that, we've talked about that, I believe, even in my second chance exit interview with Troyzan, or I'm sorry, my second chance preview. And I believe that it was also Troyzan's gray balls also were, they were color-coded also. Everybody, yeah. That's what color he was. And he goes on to, he wins that challenge, yeah.
Yeah, so you're 1-for-1, 100% so far, a very well-endowed score. We are going to go to question number 2. While Troyzan is part of the majority that takes out Jonas, why does he say in an earlier confessional that he wants Jonas to stay past this vote? A, he sees Jonas as a potential future ally. B, Jonas is a great cook and provider. C, he's worried about taking a guy out in case the women get back together. D, it's always useful to have someone around who could distinguish poop from dirt.
These are the questions that I always find difficult of like, that are like, what did somebody say in a confessional? Like 5 years later, I'm supposed to remember, I've committed everything that Troyzan says in his confessional to memory. So
well, you should think about the episode, Rob. There's actually a theme in this episode that could help you answer this question.
And sometimes it's also like things that are actually true, but he didn't actually say that. Can you read the options one more time?
Sure. So it's why does Troyzan say in an earlier confessional that he wants Jonas to stay past this vote?
Yes, yes.
A, he sees Jonas as a potential future ally. B, Jonas is a great cook and provider. C, he's worried about taking a guy out in case the women get back together. D, it's useful to have someone who could distinguish poop from dirt.
So it's like all the first three things are obviously true, but which one did he say in the episode? I have no idea. And if I use the 50-50, you're going to take away D, so it's really not going to help me that much. So I will just, I'll go with that. Troyzan looked at Jonas as an, wanted to keep him because he was a guy against the women.
That is incorrect. That should have been what he was saying, to be honest.
Of course. It was actually that of he's course. Okay, well, so what is it? What's the answer?
It was that he's a great cook and provider. And almost the whole episode was about the fact that he worked around camp, that he was a good guy. Chelsea Meisner doesn't want to take him out partly because of this, but she does end up voting for him.
Yeah.
So this is really a big theme. And this is it's a really interesting, one of the more interesting One World episodes, because it's where Jonas and Tarzan get into it. Troyzan loves Jonas's cooking. He's obviously a professional sushi chef, and everyone besides Tarzan thinks he's a good guy and helpful around camp. But they decide to take him out. Where Michael Jefferson was actually the one who got a couple two other votes.
Yeah, it was like which of these three true things did Troyzan actually mention in the episode? So
that I'm not trivia.
If you're gonna come on here and quiz me every week about what did Troyzan say in 2012, it's not gonna be a fun quiz.
I don't know. I think the listeners are again going to be on my side. And I know you said in person people are usually nice, but on Twitter people are rarely
it's
nice.
It's not poorly
and
worded. On Twitter, it's just who's remembering Troyzan quotes that he said in a confessional.
I think the majority of the diehard listeners of this podcast would get that question right. That's my prediction.
All right. That's what I want. Okay, let me know, audience of if you remember
right,
that Troyzan said
wrong.
The reason why he should keep Jonas was because he's a good provider around the camp.
It's the whole episode's about that. Right?
No, it's not.
It's not the whole episode. A lot of the episodes. About that. Watch it again, Rob. Do your research.
Don't punish me.
All right, so you're one for two. You're at 50%.
Okay.
You need 5 points to win. You still have your point doubler. You still have your 50-50. So you're actually doing a pretty good job. So now we're going to switch gears to Survivor Cagayan. This is the episode called We Found Our Zombies from March 26, 2014, 3 years ago this past Sunday, Berquist. And we haven't spoken about Survivor Cagayan since we did our preseason Tony Vlachos podcast. And even though Tony Vlachos is voted out, I did want to get a Tony question in here. So question number three. As we know, Tony pulled a lot out of his bag of tricks throughout his original season. However, in a confessional, he reveals a trick he had come up with that he decides not to use. Did he A, plan to make up that he had a son so he could swear on his life? B, plan to make a fake immunity idol and put it in LJ's bag to put a target on him? C, plan to throw a challenge to get rid of Wu? D, plan to slip a note to Sarah at the end of the next immunity challenge to let her know that they're still good?
So this was in a confessional he said he was going to do something?
He said he had a plan that he was going to come up with that, and this is after the tribe swap. It's actually, I think, the episode right before the merge, where he says he comes up with a devious plan that he doesn't use.
I don't recall this devious plan. I'm going to guess that he would have thrown the challenge to get rid of LJ.
So the choice is actually it's plan to make a fake immunity idol to put in LJ's bag, or C is plan to throw a challenge to get rid of Wu.
I'll say he was going to make a fake immunity idol and put it in LJ's bag.
You're actually incorrect, Rob. It was A, plan to make up that he is a son so he could swear on his life. And this is after he comes clean to his entire alliance that he's actually a cop.
I don't remember Tony saying that. Okay.
Yep, he did. So he didn't end up doing it. I think people may not have liked that one after other contestants have pulled off similar feats. So you were one for two. You need four more points in order to win, and you have three questions left. So on one of these, you are going to need to use your point doubler in order to win the game.
Okay.
And you also have your 50-50. So you're still in dangerous waters right now, but you...
So I have to get everything right now.
You do have to get everything right.
Okay.
So would you like to use your point doubler on this next question? There's one more Cagayan question.
I have to use it on something. I'll use it here in Kaguyan.
All right.
God knows where we're going to go next.
2-point question. If you don't get this right, you lose the game.
And then we're done. And then we're done.
No, we still ask the other questions. Okay. The fans want to hear other questions. So what does Sarah tell her new Apari tribe in order to stress that she's still with them and not her old group? A, Tony is too sneaky to work with going forward. B, she feels more welcomed by new Apari than she ever did by Braun. C, Tony's top 5 baby chant made her feel like her old alliance doesn't want to work with her. D, after seeing that 2 Brauns, Cliff and Lindsay, are gone, she feels like she could be in trouble with her old alliance.
So I'd have to say it was C, that after she heard top 5 baby, she has to feel like she's not wanted with that other group.
Final answer?
That's my final answer.
Yeah, you're correct. That is correct. I thought that was an easy question.
Okay. Well, but sometimes these questions sound easy. You say, well, that was what happened, but she actually said that Tony is sneaky, so it was A.
You got the question right, Raps. I was not complaining about it. You have 3 points. You have 2 more questions. You have 3 more questions left. Remember, we added another question.
So
you can go. That's right. You have 3 points. 3 questions left. So you could actually get one of these questions wrong. I just realized.
Yes.
So we're going to go to Survivor Co. Wrong. It's merge time. March 30th, 2016, 1 year ago today. And you still have your 50-50. Question number 5. What does Debbie admit to during the merge feast? A, wanting to cuddle with Nick. B, wanting to braid Kyle Jason's beard. C, wanting to climb Scott Pollard. D, wanting to eat Mark the Chicken.
I'll use my 50-50 here.
All right, so I'm going to keep wanting to cuddle with Nick and D, wanting to eat Mark the Chicken.
I'll say she wanted to cuddle with Nick.
She did. She did want to cuddle with Nick. You are correct. You have 4 points. You need 1 more point for the win. She had a big crush on Nick. She spoke a couple of times about how good looking she thought the former RHAP blogger was. She did not talk about wanting to eat Mark the Chicken.
Yeah.
Especially during the merge feast. They had all that other food, so it wouldn't have really made sense.
Okay. All right. Don't piss off
number
Debbie.
6.
Right.
I won't. Yeah. I'm pissed. Question number 6. Debbie gives multiple examples to describe her relationship with Neil. Which of these pairs did she not use as one of these examples? A, salt and pepper. B, peas and carrots. C, ebony and ivory. D, toilet paper and toilets.
Can you repeat the question again? Debbie compared her relationship with Neil with like a bunch of things, and which one didn't she say?
Yes, which pair of things did she not use as an example to describe her relationship with Neil? The choices are A, salt and pepper, B, peas and carrots, C, ebony and ivory, D, toilet paper and toilets.
Again, I have not committed every Debbie confessional to memory.
You haven't?
I have not. Which episode is this? This is the merge?
This is the merge episode, yes.
Yes, so she's talking about how so what is it again? Salt and pepper, ebony and ivory, and what's the other one?
Salt and pepper, peas and carrots, ebony and ivory, toilet paper and toilets.
I'll say salt and pepper.
It was actually peas and carrots. Rob, Debbie is not a Forrest Gump character.
Yes. She did not. So it was that, which thing did she not say?
Which thing did she not say?
Yeah, okay.
And so she did not say peas and carrots. That was Forrest Gump.
Yes.
So you still have a chance to win.
Okay.
This is why I added the last question, by the way. People thought there was not enough wiggle room in order for you to win the game. So we have a 7th question here, and you need this one right in order to win. So number 7, and your 50-50 is gone. You have no more advantages left. Which one of these co-wrong game changers does Nick say he'd like to hang out with? A, Ty. B, Debbie. C, Aubrey. D, Caleb, despite him not having anything to do with the episode and me just needing a 4th option for this question.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure he said he would have wanted to hang out with Aubrey.
Final answer?
It's my final answer.
You're correct. You are a winner chicken dinner. Yes, he does say he wants to vote Aubrey out, but he actually likes Aubrey better than a lot of the girls and a lot of the people out there, and says he would like
How could
to,
you not?
She's someone he'd like to hang out
with.
So you get the win, and you're on a 3-game winning streak. You got the gifted one from last week for hosting such a great know-it-alls, and you're 2 away from that legacy advantage, but it has to be 5 in a row. And I've been brainstorming with some people on Twitter about what that legacy advantage could be, and I think we've come up with some great ideas.
Okay, well, Jordan, thank you for all your hard work. I know that we don't always see eye to eye on some of these questions.
They call this kvetching, where I come from. I think Akiva Whitaker and maybe Ariel Kalish Glassman will get that. I just mispronounced my own last name by saying her name, but I'm not sure who else will understand that.
All right. Well, but Jordan, I think that these airing of the grievances, I think that this is helping us construct a better quiz. We're improving the quiz week by week.
Yeah. Look, from conflict comes beautiful things. I don't know. Is that a quote? I don't think anyone's ever said that before.
It is now. It is now. And then in 6 years, maybe I'll ask Brad and Debbie.
We're like the Brad and Debbie of this of the RHAP universe.
Yeah.
I'm Brad, you're Debbie.
All right. Send your feedback to Jordan Kalish on Twitter. He is at Jordan Kalish. And then we will be back to talk about more of This Week in Survivor History next time.
Yeah. Hashtag I beat Rob. Hashtag Rob beat me. Hashtag I tied Rob.
Okay. All right, Jordan. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish back here for This Week in Survivor History. All right. That's another exit interview in the books. I'm going to go and start getting ready for my interview with John and Candace Cody coming up later on this afternoon. We should have that up in the podcast feed by late night tonight. Then I'm going to shift gears and get into recapping the premiere of The Amazing Race 29. And then tomorrow I will be recording my voicemail feedback show with Randy Bailey. So get your feedback in robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Looking forward to all that. Of course, our sponsor again, Blue Apron. Get your first three meals for free when you visit blueapron.com/Rob. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.